We'll discuss the preliminary report on the DNR's management of the deer herd in Wisconsin, released last week by the state's so-called deer czar, deer trustee James Kroll. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, April the 2nd. The report was critical of the DNR's efforts managing the deer herd, but no recommendations were put forth in this initial report. Dr. Deer, as James Kroll is also called, plans to hold town hall meetings on the issue later this month before issuing a final report in June. We're going to discuss this preliminary report and take your reactions and your questions for our guest, Pat Durkin, who is a newspaper columnist on outdoor issues and a deer hunter. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Do you think the DNR is out of touch with hunters, as stated in the report? Is the DNR way off base on deer population estimates and goal setting? Pat Durkin's column appears in a number of publications, including the Wisconsin State Journal, the Green Bay Press Gazette, the Oshkosh Northwestern, the Watertown Daily Times, newspapers in Chautauqua, Ladysmith, Bloomer, and Barron, and Wisconsin Outdoor News. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So first off, remind us, Pat, who is Wisconsin's deer trustee, and what is this initial report on the DNR's management of the deer herd all about?
Yeah, Dr. Kroll is from Stephen F. Austin University down in Texas. He's been pretty famous in the deer hunting community for, gosh, going back at least 20-some years now. So, you know, deer hunters tend to know very well who he is. He's kind of a maverick. You know, a lot of the traditional deer biologists have never really gotten along with him very well because he's very outspoken. You'll never accuse him of being subtle or real nuanced in his debates. You know, he's pretty much a hard hitter usually. And I mean, I always like over the years interviewing him because he is a very good person for direct commentary.
Mm-hmm.
The report is, you know, that's you know, the thing. I guess my reaction when I read it the other day, it is a preliminary report, and so I mean, I've been seeing a lot of people getting really mad on both sides of this. You know, the guys who tend to think the DNR is doing okay, they're acting real defensive, and the guys who really dislike the DNR's approach are, you know, basically jumping around, you know, real happy right now because he was critical in quite a few areas there on the DNR's handling of deer. But I guess my thought is, you know, 3 months from now, once the final report is out, you know, this preliminary report will be, you know, pretty much forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the big things that come down when he really proves if he's been worth the money we paid. You know, that's going to be determined in June with the final report. And then when that comes out, I think it'll be really interesting to see how hunters respond to it. Will it be something they can embrace? Is he really tapped into the big solution? And that's been a tough, I think, going back in our history, that's why it's been a very tough thing to get to that point where people are happy with one system or another.
Mm-hmm. Well, but Dr. Kroll was hired by Governor Walker because of concerns over whether the deer herd was being managed properly or not?
Right. Yeah, going back to the 2010 governor campaign, Governor Walker made it a political promise that he would hire a deer trustee to look at this, you know, look at our handling of the deer situation. And folks like me, I kind of, you know, my initial thought was, you know, in my career, we've had at least, I think, you know, 15 different reviews of the deer system. You know, some were real high profile, some were kind of more or less university-based. We didn't really see a whole lot of public involvement. But, you know, it became he made it a campaign issue. And, you know, carried through on that promise. In October last year, he appointed Dr. Kroll. And Dr. Kroll then went out and also brought in colleagues like Gary Ault, who used to be the deer program guy in Pennsylvania, and also Dr. David Gwynn from down at Clemson University. And all three of these guys are pretty well known. You know, Ault is another, to me, I think, one of the really top, you know, biologist in the country. His background was more embarrassed, but he's a real good guy, knows his stuff. Same with Dr. Gwynn.
Mm-hmm. And the concerns are in the deer hunting community that the DNR is way off on the estimates. Is that the main problem?
Yeah, it seems like, you know, in recent times especially, you know, we've always been fighting about the DNR's deer estimates. But I think the one thing that I, you know, kind of have to smile a little bit when they say that this confidence in DNR has been eroding the past few decades. You know, if you go back and look at our deer history, you know, all the Leopold back in the 1930s and early 1940s, I mean, people were vicious to mm-hmm. all the Leopold deer hunters were. I mean, they called them, you know, they basically called them, you know, bloodthirsty, and they said his estimates were based on pure guesswork, too. So this isn't, not really a new issue. I mean, people have always distrusted deer estimates. I mean, hunters do. There's a group mm-hmm. of hunters who always are unhappy with deer estimates. So I guess that part, to me, is not exactly a novel thought, and it definitely didn't come around in recent years. But I think in recent years what has become more common is, you know, for a long time we really let the politics of deer be settled within the DNR and the Conservation Congress. And in more recent times, in the last decade or so, the legislature has been much more willing to get involved in the deer debates and you know, raise it up to where it became a campaign issue in the governor's race.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think of the conclusions in this preliminary report and Dr. Kroll's criticism of the DNR? Is he on base, off base?
Yeah, I find it interesting. When I'm reading through it, I'll get to one half a page and I'll think, yep, it's dead on. You know, there's things in there like, I like the idea, and I really wish they'd stress this a lot more, that we really need more in-depth analysis of deer habitat around the state. And we need a lot more ways to get deer hunters involved in that deer field work, you know, habitat research work. You know, it's not you know, going out and doing assessments of deer habitat and deer browse and how much damage is being done to the forest by deer. And that's not exactly the hardest thing to teach people how to do. You can closely supervise it and get them involved and make hunters see what the biologist is talking about. So I really like that kind of stuff. I also like the idea that they basically say, let's quit making the DNR's sex-age-kill formula, the model they use for predicting deer numbers and estimating deer numbers in big parts of the state. That shouldn't be such a central focus of our management efforts. You know, in recent years, we have put so much effort into arguing about these deer estimates, and the fact remains that, you know, the SAK system, the sex-age-kill system, if you look at it, it's kind of, I guess the best way I can describe it is like an insurance actuary type approach. And I don't know about you, but I can't begin to understand mm-hmm. actuaries yeah. and actuarial speak. It's very difficult stuff. So they can't explain this to hunters in a way that makes them understand it. And even among the biologists, it's not exactly an area where they're real comfortable always doing it. So it really takes a high-end person, I think, usually to figure out this SAK model. So I like the idea of de-emphasizing that. And, you know, just also, I think, too, the idea of getting more DNR involvement where, you know, face-to-face stuff between the biologists and the landowners, because so much of this stuff is, I think they lash out so often at the SAK model because, you know, they say that DNR is not listening. You know, I think what they're saying is, you know, that they really don't have a relationship with the DNR. It tends to be, in their minds, kind of a faceless institution that they don't feel any kind of real connection to it.
We are talking with Pat Durkin. He's a columnist on outdoor and recreation issues and a deer hunter. And we're talking about the report, the preliminary report issued last week by Wisconsin's deer trustee on Wisconsin's deer management, on the DNR's management of the deer herd. The report was critical of the DNR, saying it's out of touch with hunters, among other things. And we're wondering what you think, what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you think Wisconsin is managing its deer population well? Why or why not? What would you like to see the DNR do differently? Checking our weather forecast for today, it's going to be mostly cloudy with a chance of rain in northern Wisconsin. It'll be mostly sunny in the south. Highs today will be in the 50s and 60s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. 19 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, April the 2nd. By the way, thanks to all of you who contributed during our spring membership drive, which wrapped up on Friday. More than 7,000 listeners pledged, and we're pleased to welcome 1,500 new members to Wisconsin Public Radio. You donated $780,000 to fund Wisconsin Public Radio and the programs you depend on. Thank you very much. Also coming up a little later this morning, Wisconsin Public Radio's director Mike Crane will be joining us. After 8 o'clock, we will talk about those pledge drive results, and we'll also talk about the new programming changes that start today on Wisconsin Public Radio. At Issue, today starts at 3 o'clock, and host Ben Marins will be talking about celebrating change with Connie Kilmark. Financial counselor Connie Kilmark joining Ben Marins at his earlier start time, 3 o'clock this afternoon here on the Ideas Network. Right now we are talking about Wisconsin's deer population and the management of the deer herd by Wisconsin's DNR, and a preliminary report that was released last week by Wisconsin's deer trustee, which was critical of the DNR. And we're welcoming your questions, your thoughts, your reactions on Wisconsin's deer herd and the DNR's management of it. Our guest is Pat Durkin, who is a columnist on outdoor and recreation issues. Let's take some calls. We have Matt in Oshkosh joining us first. Hello, Matt.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm a dairy farmer, and I feed that deer herd that he's talking about. And I can tell you, there is no shortage of deer out here. The biggest problem that the hunting community has is that the bull hunting pressure that starts in September and continues all the way up until gun hunting is so great compared to years off in the past that the deer herd becomes very educated, and they get nocturnal. And then gun season comes along, and the hunters go out, and they expect to see 20, 30, 40 deer, and they don't. They see two, three deer. And then that's when we always see on the news all these groups of hunters that are all upset there's no deer left, and they blame the DNR. The DNR is getting a bad rap on this thing. What they need to do is get the bow hunters under control. There's no reason they should be out here for 2-3 months at a time hunting these deer and educating them. Give them 2 weeks, give them 3 weeks, and then let the deer settle down for gun hunting, and there'd be far less problems.
What do you think, Pat?
There's no doubt that the more people you have in the woods, the more human activity in the woods. The research shows that hunter observations, pretty much confirm it, that deer do become a lot more nocturnal, a lot less prone to move in daylight when there's human pressure, and they feel the threat of predators, human predators. So that's true, and I think what Matt's talking about in his area is definitely a factor as far as there are a lot of deer in many parts of the state. The lower two-thirds of Wisconsin still has lots of good deer in many areas, and there's not a big deer shortage in many parts of Wisconsin. But there are parts in northern Wisconsin where, there are some real shortages right now. I tend to think it's more related to habitat and poor habitat quality, that's been declining the last 20 years. But, but I don't think it's realistic to think we're going to ever reduce the length of the bow hunting season. And bow hunting is a very popular activity, and people, I like to think that it's good recreation. It starts early in September, mid-September, runs through the end of the year, and it's hard. Once people are used to having a form of recreation, available to them, you're not going to take it away from them very easily.
Mm-hmm. So when Matt says there's plenty of deer out here, do hunters disagree with the DNR's estimates of the deer herd? Do they think there's fewer deer than the DNR says there are?
Yeah, typically what I always find interesting is deer hunters typically always think the DNR is overestimating deer numbers and underestimating things like wolf numbers. Mm. That's kind of the way that it's been, and I don't think that's ever going to really change, no matter who studies the deer numbers. But, Matt's area, I can tell you from personal experience, I used to live down in the Oshkosh area, and I still
still write for the Oshkosh newspaper, so I hear from those readers in that area. And I hear from a lot of hunters who tell me I'm all wet when I say there was plenty of deer in this region. Mm-hmm. So I know what Matt's saying. I go to the hearings up here in Waupaca County and hear the same thing from my neighbors, that there's no deer around, yet I see them going through my yard quite often. And so you always have these, deer are not spread evenly across the landscape. There are some woods, some woodlots that do not hold many deer because really they are mature woods with a very little understory. So deer just don't hang out in those kind of woods, whereas other places, if they're in a marshy area with good deer habitat or younger woodlots with good underbrush, and especially if they're near a good farm area with good agricultural lands with good crops, yeah, those areas are going to have a lot more deer than the area isolated that's more of a basically an older woodlot that's good for pole timber and that kind of stuff.
Well, one of the points raised by Kroll's report is that the DNR should simplify its season structure and keep seasons consistent. What is he talking about here?
Yeah, I agree, but I also know that a lot of times the season complexity, where we have year-to-year changes in our deer season structure, because like the CWD area has fluctuated dramatically. This area of southwestern Wisconsin and parts of, stretching over into parts of southeastern Wisconsin where we have chronic wasting disease, that season has flip-flopped a lot. Mm. But it hasn't necessarily been because of the DNR wanting to do it, but the public pressure mounts up. They don't like, hunters might not like the season the DNR is calling for, and so the DNR is compromising and switching the regulations around. And then so year to year, the great masses who really are not out there complaining all the time or upset all the time, they get caught in the middle, and they're probably the majority where they look around and think, well, what's the regulations this year? And that does, then you start building resentment toward the DNR, because as they respond to one group of citizens, another group of citizens feels like, well, now you're confusing us. And it does get to where if you're not staying on top of the regulations book, it does get very confusing year to year what you're actually what your guidelines are that year.
Next, we'll go to Bob in Black River Falls. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. If anybody knows it, Black River Falls is considered the deer hunting capital of Wisconsin.
I didn't know that.
That's what our banner says.
Okay.
I've grown up in this area. I've seen millions of deer. I've met a lot of responsible hunters, and I have met a lot of irresponsible hunters. The idea of hunting is really supposed to be a tool to help control the herd, so that's kind of the goal there. And hunting is kind of a gamble. You know, it's not like by buying your license, you're not guaranteed an animal. I think if you were to restrict out-of-state hunting some, when the season were to open, maybe opening day would be residents only. And then, it would be safer in the woods. Residents would be more happy with, being able to get a kill. I know that's kind of a tough bullet to bite there, because out-of-state licenses bring in a lot of revenue, but there's also a lot of people that come in that really don't have respect for the woods or the community they're coming into, don't understand the idea of hunting clearly.
All right, well, Pat, you want to bash the out-of-state hunters a little bit?
No, I don't. I often think, and it's been my experience, and basically when I look into these kind of issues, it's always popular for people in central Wisconsin, for example, to pick on the downstaters and the people from up north, to pick on the guys from Milwaukee or the guys from Madison, whatever the big population base might be. And, of course, over in northwestern Wisconsin, they often will pick on the Minneapolis folks who come up there and deer hunt. So I think it's always easy to pick on the non-residents or the people from out of your area. I think that's kind of human nature. But when you look into the citations that are issued, yeah, there is citations issued to non-residents for violations of deer hunting laws, but so often the citations are being written locally. I mean, there are people who, for the most part, they're messing with their neighbors, and the neighbors know who they are, and eventually the name gets dropped, and the DNR goes after them and pinches them, and lo and behold, it's the guy from over the hill or something. So I think it's too convenient to pick on the non-residents all the time.
So Now, the DNR's Deer Trustee is going to be holding town hall meetings on this preliminary report and apparently getting input from hunters and all parties before issuing the final report in June. What can we expect at these town halls, do you think?
Well, I'm going to at least two of them because I always find these kind of meetings, and this is going to be like some historical stuff, I think, for the state deer hunters to take part in. And I really hope they'll show up and be constructive and not just complain, but actually start offering some solutions and ideas. I think the big, we're going to have, I think they're scheduled for 3 hours, and I'm not sure what the format will be yet. But I know in talking to Dr. Kroll probably a couple months ago already, the one thing he stressed to me when I talked to him was the idea that he wants people to come in with some ideas for change that will work and not just get up there and do more DNR bashing. I think, what I don't know in this report, this preliminary report, there's really not a whole lot of, there's only about 10 pages of actually, real commentary on the situation at hand today. And I'm wondering if he's, in some cases, I'm reading it and thinking, okay, yeah, but what does that mean when he talks about various suggestions like, I shouldn't go into all that detail, but, anyway, I'm sorry.
That's right.
But what I'm thinking is that I think his whole point here is that here is the criticisms. Now what do we do about it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he could have said that to me a little more politely at times, but again, the fact he said it, I respect the fact he's putting it out there and saying, hey, here's some of my toughest shots. How are you guys going to respond, and how are the hunters going to do something constructive with this?
All right, well, we'll talk more about what can we do about it after we check the latest news. We do, by the way, have a list of those town hall meetings posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page if you're interested in attending. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The deer population, the estimates are flawed, according to a preliminary report issued last week by Wisconsin's Deer Czar, or Deer Trustee. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 6:36 on this Monday, April the 2nd. We are talking with an outdoors columnist who is also a deer hunter about the Deer Czar's preliminary report, which was critical of the DNR, not only over flawed estimates. James Kroll says the DNR doesn't know enough about how predators affect deer and that the DNR has treated deer in chronic wasting disease zones as pests. And his preliminary study concludes that hunters and landowners feel an intense dissatisfaction with the Department of Natural Resources. Do you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Pat Durkin. He's a columnist on outdoor and recreation issues. His column appears in a number of Wisconsin newspapers, the Wisconsin State Journal, Green Bay Press Gazette, the Oshkosh Northwestern, the Watertown Daily Times, newspapers in Chautauqua, Ladysmith, Bloomer and Barron, and Wisconsin Outdoor News. And we have many callers, so let's go back to the phones, and Kirk in DeSoto is with us. Hello, Kirk.
Yeah, I was just wondering, we cater to the bow hunters in the state of Wisconsin. Why couldn't we mix it up and have a early muzzleloader season during the rut, every other year or something like that, and see how many bow hunters throw down their bows and pick up a muzzleloader? We get the muzzleloader hunt the week after we chase them for 9 days with rifles. And if the bow hunters lose a day, they want it back. Why not give a few days to the muzzleloader hunter?
Yeah, and Kirk, do you think this would help with the management of the deer herd?
Yeah.
Why?
Because more people would, with rifles and harvest deer, it'd be a totally different hunt, and people would harvest, go out and hunt hard if they got an opportunity for something new in a better time.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pat Durkin, I didn't realize there were so many different factions of deer hunters.
Well, that's what's, I think, fun about deer hunting is you do have a lot of different factions, and I think the challenge for an agency like the DNR is trying to find a way to satisfy all the different ways there are to hunt deer. Muzzle loading, you know, right now the season we have is a 10-day season in December, which happens after right after our regular gun season, and it is a tough season to hunt as far as seeing deer, and the deer are definitely hard to hunt right then because they're coming off an intense 9-day deer season, you know, with a regular firearm, so it is a tough time to hunt. So typically they would like an earlier time to hunt. And, you know, whether or not it'd make a big difference in management of the deer, I'm kind of skeptical on that. But, you know, if your goal is to provide quality recreation to people, that would be another way to get people into the woods at a nicer time of year when deer are more active.
Do we expect that the final report from Dr. Deer will be changing deer hunting seasons?
Well, I think I'm sure he'll make some proposals in that way. At least I would assume he would. But I'm guessing if his goal is to help manage the herd and shoot more deer in some situations, I'm not really sure how far he'd be willing to go on changing some of the structure. Because right now, too, we have different laws now on the books where you can't hunt deer before certain times in November, and you can't have gun seasons at certain, like, you know, before the I can't remember what the actual date is anymore. But, you know, there are more restrictions now on what the DNR can actually do anyway, so it would require legislative change. But as far as how he's going to go about doing that, I don't know. I don't know what he's going to come up with in that regard. That's where I'm really saying right now is, you know, this preliminary report, it's interesting reading, lots of things in there to argue against or argue for, but 3 months from now, like I say, we'll have forgotten about this and we'll be discussing what his proposals actually are.
Well, James Kroll also criticized the DNR for a lack of data on how wolves impact the deer population. What do we know about the role of wolves, and how might a wolf hunt that is now proposed, assuming Governor Walker signs it into law, how might that shake things up?
We do have some ongoing studies in northern Wisconsin, at least one in northwestern Wisconsin, and another one more in the eastern farmland region north of a little bit west, northwest of Green Bay. And they really are not finding so far a whole lot of evidence that wolves are the number one predator of deer. I was kind of surprised, you know, like on the final page of their summary, on page 21 of the summary, he emphasized, you know, this idea of the predation issue should be addressed immediately. What I thought, you know, knowing what he's written over the years and talked about over the years, I thought his priority would be, if you know, put something in boldface, you know, we should address habitat issues immediately, much more aggressively than what we've, you know, been doing. That's always been my long-term criticism of the DNR, is very little real boots-on-the-ground type work in habitat. Mm-hmm. And if deer don't have good habitat, well, then they're more susceptible to predators. And I always think, you know, you can have a wolf hunt, but, you know, even if you're saying there's 800 wolves across northern Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin is a huge region, and 800 or 1,000 wolves in that region are pretty well, typically, if they're spread out, you're not going to have huge impacts on the entire northern deer herd. And even if you shoot down the wolf numbers to some number less than 800, wherever we're at now, I don't think we're going to see a huge rebound in the deer herd because of the wolf hunt.
Let's take another call from Matthew in Port Wing. Hello, Matthew.
Hi. I've seen a lot more signs of wolves. There's been wolf tracks. I found a lot of bones. And as far as the number of deer, we've seen a lot less deer. I just think that the wolf population really is hurting the deer herd. And I had some friends that had set up some trail cams and spotted a lot more wolves in the area also.
All right, well, that is what James Kroll wants addressed right away, as you just mentioned, Pat Durkin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, one of the comments that Kroll made that I really liked in this report was the idea that, you know, we talk a lot about the damage that deer do to the forest, but we don't spend so much time talking about things we can do to manage our forests to make them better habitat for deer.
Yeah, what can we do about that?
Yeah, well, basically, it comes down to doing more cutting. You know, we've really, you know, people really don't like to see clear cuts, but in terms of deer habitat, healthy deer cuts, you know, we mean clear cuts where you cut into an area, open it up, you know, regenerate all the young forest growth, the young trees, that's where deer thrived, and grouse, you know, thrive in that. That's why years ago we had so many deer in northern Wisconsin, you know, back in the 30s and 40s when the forest was regrowing. So there are ways to manage forests and do more cutting to help, you know, generate more deer. But, you know, to me, the thing I'd worry about is if we start just going up there and doing things like putting more food plots in the northern forest, I think, well, that's not really, I'm not sure that's going to give us a whole lot of, you know, widespread boost to the deer numbers. But the thing we've talked about for years, Joy, is that for 20-some years in, through all these mild winters, the deer herds in northern Wisconsin, many areas built up way beyond what the normal habitat could carry. So they really did do a lot of browse damage and really did make the habitat, you know, degrade the habitat for their own well-being. So now we're at a point, you know, 20 years down the line where that, well, we're in the future now, and everything they predicted back 20 years ago about what happens when the habitat can no longer support a lot of deer, well, now we're there in many areas.
Next we'll go to, thank you, Matthew. Mike in Sussex is with us now. Hello, Mike.
Good morning. You know, there's so many factors that are affecting this deer population, you know, and you know, one of them that Matt, or some of them that Matt mentioned earlier, kind of laying at the footsteps of the bow hunter, I think are very misguided. You know, for years, the DNR has been constantly changing regulations, which you've mentioned. There's no consistency. Colorado, for example, when they change regulations, they change them for, I think it's periods of 5 and 10 years. We've had youth hunts before the opening of the gun deer season. We've had special T-zone hunts. We've had all sorts of activity ahead of time. A lot of this really lays at the doorstep of the DNR and how they've mismanaged the numbers. I've hunted an area called Meadow Valley. It's a 33-square-mile area in central Wisconsin that, you know, 20 years ago, it wasn't uncommon for three of us to see 100 deer. Now, you could argue that, yeah, some of them are the same deer that went by, and maybe there was too many. But in the last 6 years hunting that very same area, we've seen a total of 5 deer. The DNR is hell-bent on reducing the population, and unfortunately, they're eliminating a whole generation of youthful hunters. You know, the young hunter that they're trying to bring in to carry the sport forward going ahead, you know, they're not going to sit out there for 3 years in a row and not see a deer and continue putting up with it. And, you know, it all lays right at the doorstep of the DNR.
Mm-hmm. So is the DNR hell-bent on reducing the deer population, Pat Durkin?
Yeah, in some areas, I don't know if they're hell-bent, but there's definitely definitely trying to reduce it in some areas. Now, again, though, you can have, and I'm sure many people are being very honest when they say that they are not seeing deer in the area they hunt where they used to see a lot of deer. And but the fact is, too, in many cases, we have people who got used to a certain level of deer that the forest itself, the land itself, really couldn't sustain for the long haul. And so in those areas, I mean, no matter what the DNR does, adult deer are going to go back into some areas where the habitat just isn't there. You know, you can't force them to live in human terms, you can't force people to live in a house without a roof. And some of these places, you know, deer, people have woodlots that really don't, they aren't good deer habitat, and it, you know, the forest does change over time too, so it's hard to know because there's other factors too, like the, you know, how much pressure the neighbors exert. Are they moving around much? Are they all sitting in their stands all day? There's lots of hunting practices we have today that, you know, typically in the old days when I started hunting in the 70s, the deer numbers were down pretty much statewide, and just never was a real fast time. But yet, people like me kept hunting even though we wouldn't see more than one deer season sometimes. So I'm not sure what the answer is to keeping people satisfied with the deer hunting experience, but all I know is we're responsible for our own happiness, and I try to go out and just enjoy the hunt and bring home venison whenever I can. But it's hard for me to always address every single hunter's individual needs and expectations.
Charles in Wausau is with us now. Hello, Charles.
Sure, good morning. I just feel inclined to stand up a little bit for the DNR. These guys are really well-trained, well-educated scientists, and they're doing the best they can. I feel like over the years they've been a little bit victimized by cuts in funding, and this is a pretty familiar strategy of Republican administrations when they want to get rid of a level of government, is you dramatically underfunded, and then say, oh, gosh, look, they're just doing a terrible job, and you keep underfunding them until you say, gosh, they're doing such a terrible job, we can't fund this anymore. And so I guess what I really want to ask is, if you feel like the new Deer Czar is going to be supporting the scientists at the DNR, or if you believe that this is a political position that is going to be doing more of the will of Wisconsin, you know, manufacturers and commerce. And I'll listen off air.
Hmm. Well, how about that one, Pat?
That's a good, tough question, because, you know, I think Dr. Kroll really understands the science of deer management. I mean, he's not some radical, and I'm not sure he, I don't know where he stands politically, but all I know is I have to believe that he takes his job very seriously and understands the deer biology. And that's the one thing, like I say, in my reading of this initial report, that's one thing that concerns me, is that he brings up habitat, brings up the concerns he has for habitat, but doesn't really dwell on them quite to the degree, like I say, by putting something on predators in boldface. I kind of wonder about that. Another thing I thought was interesting, you know, one thing we know about hunters from the surveys and talking to hunters, the one thing that tends to bring them satisfaction is seeing deer. And one thing, though, that controls, I mean, really does factor in strongly in seeing deer is if they're hungry or not. And right now we have baiting. Baiting is allowed in many parts of Wisconsin. And one thing we know from the research is that the more you bait, the more that bait that's in the woods, the less deer move. And yet this came up as a concern. Like, you know, out of the top 15 concerns he lists in his report, three of them concern baiting, and yet there's not one thing in this report addressing baiting, which I found that really curious that he didn't touch the baiting issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you hope will happen now that this preliminary report goes to the town hall meetings, starting, by the way, on April the 16th in Appleton? Then it looks like there's going to be one in Rhinelander, in Hayward, in Black River Falls, in Mount Horeb, and at the Wisconsin State Fair Park in Milwaukee. What do you hope is the result of these hearings and the final report in June?
Yeah, I guess my hope is that we get to the point where one of the recommendations he makes in this preliminary thing is to get off discussions of the deer population and deer estimates, and that you're always using a number to set our deer goals, you know, and get into things that people can have tangible evidence or something they can see that helps back up how we're going to go about managing the herd. I think we've tried for, you know, decades now with our formula system. It's a real formula-driven system that most hunters don't understand, a lot of biologists don't understand. So I do hope we kind of back away from that. It should still be something the biologists, you know, keep in mind and look at and reference, because it is great historical data that shows you trends and shows things that if you're not documenting, we don't really know where we stand. So I think there's good information that we can't just walk away from. But I think we can, you know, get into a situation where we can have a good deer hunt, have a productive deer hunt, if people get involved in this process and stay involved. But then to think that DNR can, you know, or Dr. Kroll can wave a magic wand and make all deer hunters happy, that will never happen. Hunters will never totally be 100% happy with any kind of deer season we have. So I think the whole thing here is to kind of get realistic about what expectations are and get hunters more involved in the habitat analysis work. That is just so crucial to having any kind of real understanding of our deer hunting in the state.
Well, we are happy that you could spend this time with us. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Pat Durkin, columnist on outdoor and recreation issues. We are planning on issuing an invitation to Dr. James Kroll, the deer trustee, to join us sometime around those town hall meetings that start on April the 16th, so we can talk more about this issue. Taking a quick look at our weather forecast for today, mostly cloudy in northern Wisconsin today with a chance of rain, mostly sunny in the south. Highs today, 50s and 60s. It is time for our Monday morning wake-up call. Wisconsin's spring election and the presidential primary is tomorrow. What should we expect at the polls in terms of voter ID? Do we need to show a photo ID or not? With us is Cindy Sepris. She is the county clerk in Wood County. Good morning.
Good morning.
So do we have to show a photo ID at the polls tomorrow?
Currently, no. Currently, we're under an injunction where voters do not have to show ID. That happened on March 6th, but, you know, that still could change. It's been bumped up to the Supreme Court, and, you know, we're waiting for a decision. So, you know, we're training our election officials to be prepared both ways, either, you know, asking voters for photo ID or not asking voters for photo ID.
All right. So it is right now it's no photo ID, but should somehow, which is maybe unlikely, the Supreme Court say, yes, you have to do this, you will then ask voters for IDs at the polls tomorrow.
Definitely. We're watching for a decision, you know, watching for direction from the Government Accountability Board and getting that word to our municipal clerks and chief election inspectors. I would certainly hate to see a change at this 11th hour because currently today and certainly over the weekend, all of our election officials were setting up their polling places. And I would set up my polling place differently if voter ID were required. I would set up that polling place differently based on the flow of voters and different stations for different items.
Really? Okay.
Definitely. I would set up my poll list differently, divide them, you know, have different lines, especially in larger municipalities.
Mm-hmm.
So at this 11th hour, it could really cause you know, snags at the polling places.
But the way it is right now, the people at the polling places will not ask me for a photo ID if the injunction is still on.
Correct. But a change that voters will see is they will ask to be signing the poll list. There's two identical poll lists, and the voter will be asked to sign one of them. You're going to sign your name as you normally sign your name on any other legal document. If you refuse to sign your name, you will not be issued a ballot.
Yeah, what is that for?
It was another component of Act 23, the voter ID law.
It's just to make sure that, I voted, so now I'm signing to say I'm here at the poll, so nobody else does. Is that supposedly?
You know, you would also be issued a voter number, as in the past, which indicates that you've been there voting. But it's another component of that voter ID law. Mm-hmm. If you're unable to sign due to a disability, the election inspectors, two of the election inspectors, would have to agree that, yes, you do have a disability, and they would write exempt in your signature line of your poll list.
Well, do you have any advice for voters who are heading to the polls tomorrow?
Be patient. be patient. You know, this is the first time a lot of polling places will be implementing some of these changes. Only about 30% of polling places had February primaries. So we had nothing for February primaries in Wood County. So this is actually the first time, you know, we're going to be implementing some of these changes. So, you know, it shouldn't take people long to sign, but people will have questions. And so each time somebody asks, oh, this is new, I didn't know about this, you know, that kind of backs up the line. So, you know, change is hard for people.
Yeah. And we have just 30 seconds to go. People can still register same day at the polls?
They can, but another change for that Act 23, that voter ID, was residency requirement changed from 10 days, and it's now 28 consecutive days.
That's right.
So in order to register, you need to have been a resident for 28 consecutive days. But I have a quick website that I'd like to give. It's vpa.wi.gov. It's Voter Public Access. And people can check their voter registration, find out where their polling place is, and view a sample ballot.
Thank you so much.